And welcome to another episode of Power On Podcast Portable. Hello, everyone. I am Sushi B, and with me, of course, is the wonderful and lovable, huggable, and very touchable Taylor, also known as Murugaru 553. How are you doing, Taylor?
I'm doing good, other than the whole touching part.
You like some distance?
I like my distance.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Not everyone likes to be touched, so. Depending on how you're being touched, I guess. Anyways, today we are hitting up the PSP again for our third review, or I guess look at, not necessarily review. And today we are going to be hitting upon a very special game from the PSP library that is only available on the PSP, and that is Patapon.
Hey, Patapon!
Yeah, so now I sent you a sort of care package some time ago now.
A long time ago now.
I don't remember when that was. But and I decided to throw in a couple of games, and the two games that you ended up getting were in a sort of, was it called like the PlayStation Dual Pack or something? Or?
Something like that.
PSP had a handful of those that they were marketing, like as the PSP was starting to sort of be phased out, and they had those double packs, dual packs.
Yeah, they called a dual pack.
Okay, so and they came in a kind of nice little box that had the two games inside, and this one had Patapon and Locoroco in it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that pack. I think it's a good combination of two games to put together. I think they're not really necessarily the same, but they have like a sort of similar vibe to them in that they're sort of music is a very common theme for both of them in different ways. Mm. And Locoroco, the music is not really essential to the game, but it's so catchy and it's such a huge part of the actual experience of the game. And so is Patapon is sort of on the other end of that, and that music is really vital to this game.
Yeah, just a little.
A little, so. In a way, you could also argue it's not a bit, too, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So, Patapon,
yeah.
Any first thoughts you wanted to touch upon before we really dig in here?
I was, let's see, very first thought. First thought is, I know you had mentioned the game to me well before you had sent it, and I never really, like I do with most people who mention games to me, I always kind of brush it off because I'm an asshole, but, you don't have time for everything kind of thing. But I have to say I find first impression of the game ever was I found it in very, very endearing game. I enjoy the little eyeball thingies throwing yeah. their spears and hacking at things and stuff, and it's very
making goofy sounds.
Very goofy, yeah. Yeah, goofy sounds and whatnot. It was very very endearing game.
Nice. Great. Well, let's dive right in then. Let's take a look at this game, break it down a little bit. What about starting I guess just with the music theme of this game? What do you sort of feel about it? Did it really hit you up good, or were you kind of like, oh, this is all right? But like, I know for me, I really don't mind the music of this game. I think it's good and it's interesting, but like if I had to compare it with something like Locoroco, I would probably pick Locoroco over this just musically. I think that the music in Locoroco is just much more universal in a sense and more endearing than this music. This music was just meant to function for me. Didn't really necessarily have any sort of attachment to my heartstrings or anything. It was just like, okay, the music of Patapon is a necessity. It's not really there for enjoyment, sort of.
Yeah, I like the music for it. It's a little, what's the word I want to use? It's different,
A lot of like tribal sounds to it, a lot of it.
Well, that, but it also at times it gets really wonky. Mm. And the thing is that it doesn't straight up give you the full tune. You'll have just a very bare bones kind of tune that's kind of setting the beat for you so you can get used to the beat. Mm-hmm. And then as depending on how well you're hitting the beat, the Patapons, you'll, 'cause explain in gameplay later, but they'll kind of mimic your actions and what you do and kind of issuing commands and doing so. If it's on beat, they kind of add some more to the song and stuff, but it isn't really until it hits fever that the music's really kind of, you know, set in its ways, and you're kind of like, oh, this is an interesting tune, or this is kind of wonky stuff. It's very, you can't really, you're definitely not as catchy as something like Loco Roco and stuff. And it's, some people might not even like the music, and there's certain stages that I'm not even a big fan of, but overall I like the music. So it's
okay. Yeah. It's all right. It's really okay. It just, as you said, it kind of is just, kind of in the background until, as you said, until you hit the fever in this game. And the fever is just essentially your max out point in this game, and you're trying to maintain a fever mode to sort of make the game easier for yourself, basically. But okay, well, with that, then why don't we sort of, there's not much story, but let's just delve into it, whatever little bit there is.
It's an amazing story. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying it's bad. Minimal can be great. It can be really good. And in this case, the minimal approach for the story actually works really well. We don't need any sort of backstory as to why there are one-eyed creature things that live in this world and where they come from and all this stuff. This is all unnecessary. It's just basically they are searching for it. And we don't know what it is. Nobody seems to know what it is, actually. There's plenty of times when you go in the game and the characters are like, does anyone even know what it is?
Which is pretty interesting. I like that kind of that nuance to it. You're searching for it. It's at Earth's End.
Right. It's pretty cerebral, right? Like it's really deep, considering you look at this game and you're like, oh, this is just like a cutesy, weird little portable game. You're not really thinking, oh, there's some sort of deep, meaningful,
plot?
not really plot, but just sort of like, it's escaping me. it's gone.
Okay. just I guess deep meaning.
Yeah, just deep meaning of some kind. Yeah, I was looking for another word, but anyways, yeah, there's no like backstory to really build upon, and there's just a basic general idea. And when you get to the end of the game, it's satisfying and almost a little bit sad too at the same time. Like you're like, okay, they're looking for it. It must be something really important. And what you get is very important at the end. Mm. But you almost expect a little more in a way, too. But I'm glad that it isn't more. Like, it kind of leaves me wanting more. And that's probably a good thing.
And that's where Patapon 2 comes in.
Right. And 3. And right. I don't know. I think they went past 3.
I think they finished up with 3. So
for now, probably, right? You never know. They probably resurrect this at some point, but
possibly.
Anyway, so they're searching for it, and we do find out what it is in the end. Well, that's the thing. We sort of do and we sort of don't, and there's we're sort of covering this game. I suppose we can not necessarily spoil it, but there is an extra scene after the credits that sort of, I guess, as you said, leads into what Patapon 2 could be, which, and it's a bit weird. They show some things that just sort of don't make sense, basically, to me anyways. Maybe somebody else could try to explain it. I don't know how you could, because there's no backstory on it, but yeah, it's a cute idea, and a lot deeper than you might expect if you can really get into the philosophical mind of it.
Right. Yeah, you'd have to really kind of approach it that kind of way to be like, oh man, that's heavy.
Right, it's deeper than you might realize. Especially you think, oh, it's just a portable game and whatnot. And, you know, this is no RPG or anything like that. But yeah, let's move from there. What about going into a little bit about the action of the game you mentioned a bit earlier?
Yeah, that would be. It's very different. I don't know if there's. I don't know. Can you think of any other game that's similar to it?
Not necessarily in this fashion, because they sort of blend kind of two genres together and to pretty successful results. I mean, it's a little annoying at times, but not...
Okay, well, I just couldn't think of an example, but...
Not really, no, I suppose not.
Basically, you are given a beat, or you have a beat you should be keeping, and you are kind of this, for lack of a better word, kind of the war drum.
Right, you're kind of a god, right? The way they talk to you, they're like, well, oh, you know, lead us, great leader. And
mighty, whatever you name
mighty
yourself.
Mighty one, or whatever they call you, right?
And so how the game works is you'll have a rhythm that you need to keep. And when you do this, you have to issue a command. And you use the four different buttons, your triangles, your not so really much the X's, but you use them, but to different varying degrees. So you have the square, which is a pata sound, and circle, which is a pon sound. Your triangles are chaka, and your X's are your don. And I know that sounds really stupid, but
it sounds really weird.
But they explain it in the game, and it the patapons help too with it, because when you issue the command, so you say you have this beat going, the beat is just kind of a boom, 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 boom. You issue the command pata 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 pon, and that moves them forward. And right. When you do that, the second measure, the patapons kind of repeat that command. So if you go, you know, pata 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 pon, or square 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 circle, the patapons go pata 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 pon, and then on the third measure, after they've kind of repeated the command that you've issued, you have to issue another command. So you have to be thinking about it. It's not a game where you can just kind of be like, oh, do 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 do, I'm just gonna, you know, you have to kind of be thinking ahead while you're issuing your commands at that point in time.
Right,
especially when you're fighting some of the bosses, because that can be pretty finicky. But I mean, you have a command to march forward, a command to do a quick retreat kind of thing, which is, what is it? Pon chaka pon chaka, no pata pon pata
pon pata, right?
Yeah, so circle square, and so they do a little retreat, and
I love the little dive.
They kind of like run back and they dive out of the way,
like a baseball slide, basically, like a forward slide.
You have a defense kind of command, so that's your triangle, your chaka chaka pata pon. You have a charge.
That's my favorite.
Which it really is very, very helpful, because when you're building up, if you are on rhythm, if you are really, really on rhythm, which can be hard if you're not focusing on the game, I think that makes it a lot harder. If you're just kind of lackadaisical with it. But because I noticed that if I'm not really like giving my full attention to the game, I get really sloppy with it. And if you're not on rhythm, you'll have to do 9 commands in a row to build up to fever. And if you're really, really very good on time, the patapons will kind of sound differently. They'll have more I think they're a little higher in tone or something, or lower in tone.
There's like an echo. If you hit the notes correctly, you'll hear like a deeper echo on each of the whatever button you've pressed.
Yeah.
The chaka is a little hard to hear. I can't hear that, but I can definitely hear in pata and pon for sure. But chaka is a little bit weird.
Yeah, cool, because it's just on a chaka kind of thing.
Right. So. It's like a jingle almost, right? Like a... you know, the bells that people wear on like their ankles, like that.
Right.
It's sort of like that. So it's kind of hard to really get a good echo sound out of it. But one of the easiest ones to build up the fever I found was the energy sort of like holding up with like pon pon chaka chaka. And then they build up. That one really builds up the fever really fast, actually. I found I could get that one on rhythm really easily compared to some of the other ones.
Right. So if you're on rhythm, you can actually get to fever, even though it might be a little difficult, but you can actually theoretically do it in 3 turns.
In 3 turns, yeah.
So I
don't think I ever did, but
I got it a few times.
Maybe like 4 or 5, I think, was my best. I'm not very rhythmic in general, so I had some not big trouble with the game. But as you said, if you lose any focus in this game, you're going to probably start getting your butt kicked pretty fast.
Right.
I would really recommend anyone who's playing this game or interested in playing this game, do not play it on a bus, a train, like a subway or anything, or in back of a car could be okay. But if you're even slightly distracted, you're going to lose your rhythm and you're going to start getting beat up on pretty bad if you're fighting a boss or something. And I found that any distraction, anything, it could have been a fly in the room and I would just lose my cool in this game. Like I just, cause they would just start beating up on me and I had to almost be in like in a dead silent room before I could actually really focus and play this game well. Mm. That's just not going to be the case for a lot of people probably, but you definitely really have to be on point. There's not really any room for error. If you make a slight error in your rhythm, you instantly lose your fever and your buildup. It's back down to one.
Right. And when you first start it can be kind of frustrating because when you trigger fever, the Patapons kind of go into this, I guess, for lack of a better word, this kind of like blood crazy,
bloodlust.
Yeah, bloodlust in here. And so they don't kind of repeat the command. So they're kind of like, fever, go crazy.
Right. They do, but it sounds different.
So, but it's you got to kind of keep the tempo yourself.
Right.
So the very first few times when I was playing, I was like, what am I doing wrong kind of thing. I was not very thrilled with that. Cause I'd be like, okay, I got fever. And then I'd lose. And I'm like, stupid Patapons. Keep focus.
Right. And that's true, because the music changes a little bit too, right? Where it's like, right. And it starts getting really, really broken and it doesn't make any sense. And I think you put it really well, like they almost go into this bloodlust where they just lose their rhythm. They're just like, let's do stuff. But it's cool if you can figure out the fever thing, and you have to figure out fever in this game. If you don't, you can't beat the game.
Right.
There's no way you can beat the game. You know, there's absolutely no way. I would be shocked if somebody could beat this game without being in fever mode.
You'd have to.
Technically, you probably can, but
yeah, you.
99% of players are not going to beat this game like that.
Be an interesting challenge.
Right. Yeah. So if you really want to challenge yourself, very frustrating. Building up to level, the ninth key, and then just reducing it down back to one would be pretty tough.
I mean, there are points where you have to actually use fever. So
right. Well, that's another thing.
So, but
we can touch on that quickly if you want.
Yeah, because there's the three main buttons: your square, your circle, and your triangle. The ones that you issue most of the commands, and then there's one where you get these kind of
miracles.
Yeah, the miracles, and there's four different kinds, and they're all triggered after you get into fever, because there's a few things that happen once you reach fever, so it's not just it's a fever kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's more to it than that. But once you trigger fever, you can access these kind of miracles, and you can only equip one per fight you go in. So it's like, okay, I want this earthquake one, or oh, I want this rain one, or oh, I want this tailwind one.
Right.
And so you hit it's a little different. You don't just hit it with the rhythm, but you have to like hit like X, 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 X kind of thing. Dong, right. Dong, 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 dong.
And right. Then it goes. It's a really deep, heavy drum.
Right. And then you kind of access this kind of shorter, little quick.
Like another mini game.
Right. Of rhythm where you're hitting basically, for the most part, your square and your circle.
I only got two of the miracles, so I didn't even know how many there were.
There's four, I think.
Okay, I only got the two.
There's earthquake and storm.
Okay, because I only got the two that you at least need to finish the game, right. At the very least. And that was the tailwind and the rain. Mm. And they only use they only use pawn pretty much exclusively, except for one pata in like the whole rhythm section there.
Yeah,
and at first I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what is going on? I was really completely baffled. Like I for at least 10 tries or something, I was like, I was about to throw my PSP. I'm like, I don't understand what I'm doing here. And I'm like hitting it. I'm like, I just couldn't figure out the rhythm. And it's really not that hard. It's just I wasn't thinking.
It's just you reverse roles basically. Mm, they kind right. of the Patapons kind of tell you how to do it, and you kind of follow suit.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's okay. It's different. You don't really need them, I guess, except for a couple of parts. The rain one can be frustrating. The part that you need it is in this desert. And you probably have to use it at least twice, right?
Two or three times, depending on
how. You can only use it when, as you said, when you're in fever mode. So if you're not in fever mode, you're probably done. Just going to fail that mission. Yeah, you can't beat it. Because basically the ground turns into fire in the desert, and your Patapons just start running aimlessly while being on fire,
right?
While things are attacking you.
Yeah, so. not a good proposition.
No, you're pretty much done by that point.
Yeah, so.
So all right. Well, that's a pretty decent coverage of the whole weapons stuff. Now, in this game too, there are some kind of slight RPG elements. I don't really want to say full RPG elements, but it's sort of implied, like there's some RPG ideas here and used in the sort of setup with the Patapons. And that is, you can equip different weapons and a few different defensive things. I guess mostly just helmets for pretty much everyone, except for a few guys that can use shields.
Right.
And this is an interesting part of the game. Now, I like this idea. And there's also a sort of side part to this is that you can create Patapon as well. Varying sort of levels of Patapons. There are regular Patapons that are just the white eyeball guys that you see on the cover that are pretty much in all the promotional stuff. And then there's these other Patapons that are like rarer pons. And there's so many really, really bizarre names that I couldn't even bother to
Mowgli Boo.
Oh yeah, they're so strange. Like they're really, really creative, but it just, you're never probably going to remember them unless you're writing an FAQ or something. And they come in different colors. There's like a yellow guy, and there's an orange one, and there's a purple one, and is there one more?
It's kind of like the horned one.
The horned guys are kind of purpley though.
Well, yeah, but then there's also the purple one that's got the spikes. There's like two.
Oh, the bluish one. That's right.
Yeah, I guess bluish. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And basically, at least for me, when I found that the yellow guy wasn't too useful. I never even got the orange guys.
I used a couple of the orange guys.
I don't even think I got the items to do it. And then I got a handful of those purple guys, and those purple guys kick ass. They have like, super, super like range on weapons and stuff. They're really, really powerful. A little bit slow, but they're really, really strong.
Yeah.
But the thing about that too is, I guess we should touch on, is that everything in this game is random drop. And that can be incredibly frustrating in this game. It could make you repeat levels multiple times just because you're trying to get a specific thing, or you think you can get something special out of beating this particular boss, or beating a certain level a certain way will get you something. And I really didn't like that. I thought at least if they're going to do random drops, they should be able to give me some sort of item creation, which the game doesn't do. And so that probably dragged out the game for me a little bit, just because you don't know what you're getting, and so you could be getting something completely useless, but you think it's really useful, and then you try to use that thing, and then you find out it's actually really useless. And so it makes managing the game a little hard. There's like an auto equip function where usually it gives you all the best items and stuff, but sometimes those items are really not what you need for specific stages and things. So I don't know how you felt about the random drops, but it was kind of irksome for me.
It can be a little bit of a pain, because I know there was a few missions that I ended up failing at that I was like, oh, I got like four fire bows or something. And it's like, yeah. You play through it again, you got nothing, like a fucking stone or something. You're like, come on, man.
The useless stone.
Yes, yeah. The useless stone. And it's just, and here's the thing, is that I think it happened to both of us, is that we completely missed, because not only can you get drops from killing critters, because you can go on hunts randomly, well, not randomly, but you can go on hunts in between each mission to kind of build up and bolster your units.
Get the ka-ching, the money, right, and stuff.
Get the ka-ching, yeah. But you have these, eventually you start being able to access certain mini games to get more items and stuff,
right?
And there's one I think we both missed on, because what happens when you beat a stage or you beat a boss is that your units will march for a little bit, but then it'll kind of, even though they're still marching across screen, they won't pick up stuff.
That happens.
And yeah. That happened a few times, and it happened with one of them that completely just did not allow me to pick up a Patapon unit that was going to open up the Stu mini game.
The Stu mini game?
Yeah, there was a Stu mini game that I think we both missed out on.
I actually, you know, I got really stuck in this game. Mm-hmm. I had to check an FAQ. I was just, I like the game a lot, but man, I was so stuck that you know how long it took for us to beat this game. It actually took quite a while for us to really get around to finishing this game and starting to record this. And part of it was because I just got so lethargic towards it. I was just like, I can't deal with this game. The beginning was great, and then I got this huge lull in the middle, and then the ending part, I was having a blast again. I was really having fun with it. Mm. But I ended up seeing FAQ, and I figured out how to open the other ones. I think I still missed one even. I think there's 5 of those mini games. I only ended up getting 4 of them.
I think the Stu one was the one you missed.
No, I got the Stu one. I got the Stu one. There was I have them down here. The first one you get is the tree guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of poop. He's not so great.
It's an annoying
And his song's annoying, yeah. Then you get this flower plant woman.
That's the one I missed.
Who constantly, I got her. I ended up getting her. And she makes like these really provocative moaning sounds and stuff. And you're
that's
like,
that's what it is. The vegetables to make the stew. That's
right. So you need to open that. And you open that by going through the desert again or something. I forget exactly what. But I ended up opening that. That mini game sucked worse than the tree one, if you can believe it. It's just totally random. Like, it doesn't really give you what... I think I tried it 5-6 times before I figured it out.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun. And then after you beat it, you know how all the other ones, they just give you the items automatically, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, this one decided it was going to add another little twist to it. And she throws the things in the air and your guy has to jump up to catch them. And I missed them, like, I think 50% of the time just because my timing was off. And I'm like, man, I went to all the trouble of trying to figure out this stupid song, which was ridiculous. And now I can't even get the item because I messed up on this jump thing. So that sucked. But you got that. You got the giant boulder rock dude.
Mountain.
Yeah, I have it written down here somewhere. You get him. And here are their names. Ubobon is the tree. Pop Bean is the vegetable girl, yeah, the flower. Rumble Thump is the giant rock dude. And the... The Patapons have different names versus the actual being, large creature thing. They have different names too. The Stew guy is Simmer Slurp.
Simmer Slurp.
pretty awesome.
Well, I couldn't do that because I didn't have any goddamn vegetables to make
I know. Stew. Well, I couldn't figure it out either at first. And I was like, oh... And you know what's too bad? Simmer Slurp is by far the coolest one. he constantly goes, whoa! He keeps saying, whoa! it's actually really awesome.
I completely, because that stupid vegetable one, it irked the hell out of me. I didn't have that. Mm.
Yeah, no, I was mad about that too.
Stupid vegetable girl.
Yeah, and she's terrible anyways. I only did that one because I wanted to keep doing the Simmer Slurp guy. And he's just going, whoa! his is pretty easy, actually, the Simmer Slurp. He's just cutting the vegetables so that they're like flying in the air and your little guy's just cutting them. It's really easy. Really, there's no real rhythm or music to it. It's just watching the vegetables. And then there's a fifth one, though, that I didn't even know about. It's like Fush Famuzi or something. And he's like a welder or something.
Well, not a welder, but a blacksmith.
Okay, blacksmith. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, and I had that one. That one's kind of tough.
Okay, well, I didn't get that one. I don't even know how to get that one. So.
I think that was from when you beat there's the canyon where it always rains. There's one of the stage where it always rains.
Okay, yeah.
You go through, I was kind of using that to build up on my ka-ching monies.
Ka-ching,
and,
yeah.
Sometimes it wouldn't be raining, and when it wasn't raining and you killed the monsters there, a star would pop up.
Oh, something about the fallen star or something in the title, right? Oh, okay.
And that star will give you something to be able to check out other areas, like one of those secret side bosses to get more of the miracles, as well as that side thing.
The blacksmith guy?
Yeah, the blacksmith one.
Okay, so this game also, I guess now that we're sort of already, we're really knee deep in this now, we're kind of all over the place. This game is pretty linear, but as you just said, there are sort of like these little secret type areas that sometimes unlock if you do the proper things, like whatever sort of events you have to do in order to unlock a new side quest or something. I liked it, and it's unique, but I just kind of glossed over a lot of
they
it.
They don't honestly. Really tell you sometimes, so
right.
you might even just completely be like, oh, what's this? Because I got that black star. It's a black star item, which unlocks mm-hmm. one of the side ones, and it was like, I was like, okay, cool. I don't have, oh, if you read the description, it kind of helps, because it's like, it unlocks a certain area. Like, okay, mm-hmm. great. It's you almost kind of wish that they would kind of put a better indication to let you know, hey, jackass, this is a new area kind of thing.
Right, but, and they don't really do that. It's just, you'll be going through the map, and if you're really paying attention, you'll be like, oh, wait a minute, this, I don't remember this from before.
Right.
So that's, you know, I have to probably agree with that. I mean, I think that's probably why I glazed over a lot of it. I might have even got that star thing and just didn't even realize I had unlocked another area and just sort of, because when you're going through the map, if you want to get Ka-Ching, I was just sort of once in a while would go to wherever. I would just pick one and be like, okay, I'll just do this one this time. And there's certain, yeah, as you said, certain monsters. There's like one of those gold bird things,
right,
which is pretty hard to kill. He's pretty fast. I don't know if I even got him, but. Yeah, it's a lot of randomness in this game, unfortunately, kind of kills it for me a little bit.
It makes it harder.
It certainly does. And I ended up getting really lucky. I did get I beat one of the bosses, the giant sort of mechanical rock robot type creature,
right.
Godin or something, right. Or something like that. And he ended up dropping, or no, was it him? I forget, maybe I'm wrong, but I forget. I beat one of the bosses and I got this giant, meat cleaver called, the Grinder or something. And it was, this huge meat cleaver.
I didn't get that.
I know. Well, I didn't get any of those. There was, the orange swords or something I ended up seeing online later. I was like, what are these orange swords? And I never got those, flame swords or something.
Well, the fire swords.
I never got any of those.
I got a couple of those.
I didn't get those at all. But then I got this big meat cleaver thing, and the thing had, huge damage on it, made a big world of difference for certain bosses and stuff for me. So,
yeah, so it's very interesting how differently it kind of turned out for us for the same game there.
Mm. And, as I said, I had a lot of trouble in the middle, but at the end, the last five stages, I just swept through them in an hour and a half. It took me an hour and a half just because I was setting up and doing all this stuff, but I had no problem going through them. I didn't fail them or anything. I think I failed the last boss once and I had to do it again. But generally speaking, somehow I just was able to just walk right through the last couple of stages like it was nothing.
There you go.
Right. And can't forget our buddy Gong. Bring up Gong.
Yeah, there's not only are there the Patapons,
the antagonists,
but there's, yeah, the antagonists, which are kind of red, square-eyed.
They look identical almost, just that they're red, basically.
Right. They're a little bit of a difference to them. And they pop in.
The Zygotons?
Yeah, the Zygotons. They show up every now and again to just kind of impede the Patapon's path to glory.
Right.
And you got to take care of business. And there's one that shows up four times?
I think three. I think I wrote down three.
Okay. And he's a bit of a jerk.
A little.
He's a little bit of a... I didn't have as much of an issue with him at the... There's a certain fight that you do have with him that can prove to be a huge pain in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
But I fortunately didn't have that much of an issue with it. But I know you were really, really not too thrilled with
this. No, I got stuck on that one battle where... This guy's name is Gong. He's basically just a general that has this giant scythe, and he can throw a tornado wind at you, and he does a lot of damage if he attacks you. But he's invulnerable all the time that you fight him, except for the final battle. And the final battle with him is quite long. There's some healing items and stuff in the stage, but again, if you're not really well prepared for it, you're gonna lose like I did. So I had to go back and sort of find these items and stuff and sort of reassess how I was going to take on this guy, and I ended up beating him, but obviously because I beat the game. But he's not too fun, but I like the idea of having this sort of almost like brainless general that's just following the orders of his queen and just like doing pretty much doing nothing but agitate you. Like he doesn't really seem like he's out for any other cause. He doesn't really seem like he's following the queen's orders to, you know, explore new lands or do anything really productive other than try to bother you all the time. that's sort of his whole shtick.
I think that's like the whole shtick of the
Zygotons. Yeah, kind of. I like beating up on all the other ones.
There are a few other generals and they're all, Gong, like they all drop random things and,
right.
Well, not random, but at least Gong either drops the scythe or his helmet. Yeah, and I got
the helmet, and I don't think it was too good. I think the scythe probably would
have been badass because it's a fucking scythe. But
right, and I beat the stage, and I'm like, I'm not doing that again just to get the scythe. I'm like, forget it. Like, it's not worth it. And that's again going back to the random drop thing, right?
All right.
So, it kind of depends how much time you want to put into the game. I would suggest most people probably don't want to have to rebeat a stage just to get better things. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but there are people that really like to do that. I mean, you could
bring up
tons of other examples where that, you know, other games and stuff where that's totally a thing.
Right.
And I just don't have the patience for that.
Maybe in those kind of games too, the way you go about doing them are different too, right? This game relies so much on your actual technical skill at playing the game. Anyways, that's a pretty decent look at more or less what Patapon's all about.
Yeah.
Whoa! I gotta show you the video of that guy. The simmer slurp. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and I'm sad I didn't get to.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not like your fault. I'm just stupid vegetable girl.
Yeah, oh, she sucks.
What? I couldn't get her.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I know. Anyways, okay, why don't we play a quick round of 10 Degrees of Taylor?
Da-da-da.
I have two options for you here. We could, I was going to bring up the mini games as a possible countdown, or we can just look at the Patapon units.
I was going
to leave it up to you.
Oh, well, we already kind of talked about Bog.
Sort of. We didn't really go into detail about the units, though.
Yeah, let's do the units. Sort of. Let's go with the units.
Okay, well, let's do the units. There's not too horribly many. I've got your 1, 2, 3, 4, 6.
There's 6 of them, yeah.
So, all right, let's start with the main guys, and these are the very first Patapon you get when you start the game. They are the spear throwers. They're sort of I would sort of call them the lifeblood of the army. If you don't have these guys in your party, you're probably not going to win. And they are the Yaripon.
Yeah, and I guess that's something I should point out is that a lot of the words that they use for in the game, not only just like what they say, but also the titles of these, like Yari is spear in Japanese, so they kind of use some of that.
Just went pretty straightforward, I guess, then.
Yeah.
Spear guys.
The spear dudes. But I like these guys. There was times where I actually took them out, because there's another unit that shows up much later that can do some hella damage if you can get them working for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the Yaripon. They're definitely excellent for hunting, of course. And
right.
When you put them in defensive measures, they're good at just kind of aiming right at your kind of where your defensive shields are at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd give them an 8. They get an 8 from me.
Nice. I'm probably going to give them a 9. I found them probably the most effective for the most part. As I said, if your shields are up, they've got this pretty cool move where they sort of jump really high and throw the spears like kind of at a diagonal level so that they hit like whatever's right in front of your shields, your shield guys. So pretty good. And more or less, especially near the end of the game, they kind of take over. You really need them in the party to really sort of smash the last couple of bosses. So 9 for me. All right, next up we've got the Tatepon.
The shield pons.
All right, so these guys are sort of the foot soldiers of your group.
They are your meat shields.
Yeah.
they are the ones that you're probably going to lose.
Yeah, a lot.
So I really like these units. They were kind of they usually, you know, they're usually the ones that are doing all the heavy hitting.
Right.
But they are also, they're good. I really liked using them when, because later on you learn this, the charge kind of command. And when you have that charge command with some of these specialized units you can get through, like some of the like super duper drops, like Mithril and stuff, you get these like really awesome units that can go a hell of a long of a distance there. And when you charge them, you issue the attack command next. You don't want to, because if you don't, the charge is gone. Right. And what they'll do is they storm forward and do this kind of like up slice attack,
jumping 360 move
of damnation kind of going. And it if you don't have fever, it's a good way to kind of hold down the fort to possibly at least knock a boss back or something, or at least do some damage and continue the bleeding on the boss while you're building up for your fever. Something happened. If for say you something the boss does and you're like, oh shit, I needed to issue something different. You got to jump out of, you got to drop fever and kind of start the command all over again.
Mm.
Definitely being able to charge helped a lot, I think. And having the Tatsepon really, really are really good for having for that charge. So I really liked him. I'd give him a niner.
Oh, nice. It's higher than me. I would just give him an 8. They're good. They take a lot of damage up front though. They can get kind of instant death attacks against them. Yeah, even when you defend though, you can still have instant death.
Well, the instant death
things happen to you. So sometimes timing gets off and you're probably going to lose the guys and stuff. So that can be tough to manage them. But they're fun to use though. I pretty much use them, I think, almost the entire game. So all right, next up we have, now I don't like these guys, I'm just going to say it straight up, and these are the Megapon.
What? These guys are awesome.
I never even made one of them. Well, I was like, oh, screw them, I'm not even using those guys.
Those guys rock.
Aren't they only like three that you can get in your party?
There's only three, but they are really, really, really good. Their attack is this weird kind, they use a horn. And they have
jarbled.
Right, and it's kind of like these blocks kind of attack. It's a goofy attack, but they whoop ass, my friend. These guys, when I took the Yaripons out, I put these guys in. These guys, like when they hit with fever, they will do some hellacious damage. Their attack goes some distance as well. When they defend, it also kind of does this thing where it kind of sticks to it kind of like keeps the enemy at bay kind of thing.
It puts them to sleep, right?
It can put them to sleep, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but yeah, they rock. You are missing out if you do not use the Megapones, at least somewhat. They were doing some wonderful magic and beautiful music for me.
But they don't have beautiful music. Come on,
they were doing.
Their sound is pretty horrific.
They're awesome. They're awesome. They get it. They are really, really, really. They helped. For me, they did. They helped a lot because there was a certain way I was doing some of the boss battles where the Yaripon weren't, they couldn't do what I needed them to do. So Megapones came in, Megapones whooped ass, Megapones get a 9.
Megapones get a 5 from me.
Oh.
Well, what can I do? I can't give them a 0. Or I'm giving them an average score because I didn't use them. But I just like from what I saw them, I was like, these guys are not for me. I don't really find them useful. Again, that could be with drops, right? I don't really recall getting anything significant that I could have equipped them with as well. I don't know, were there many drops for them? Do you know?
I actually didn't get any. I just, just as they were pretty good for me.
Okay,
dropped horns, but I didn't get any of the, I didn't get an ancient horn or anything like that. So.
Horn of hellacious death.
Something, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm just going to give them a 5 because, if I didn't really use them, I can't really comment too much on them. But moving along, the Kibapon.
Oh, these guys sucked. These guys,
they're probably the worst.
I don't know. They're pretty low. I tried to use them, and not only that, but like when you fight against them, they're annoying as hell.
Right. That's the thing. When you fight against them, they seem to be doing extremely well. When you're using them, they're extremely useless.
Right. And you're just like, these
really strange.
Yeah.
Not flyers. Basically, they're horse riders, but when they hit something, they fly back all the time.
Right. And it's
really weird. Really weird mechanics on these guys. I think I use them. Do you remember that stage? There's one stage in this game where you have to rescue someone from a carriage.
Right.
Somehow they were effective for me on that stage.
Okay.
I think just because they were so fast, they were able to get lots of hits in really quick. But otherwise, they're not very good.
Oh, yeah, these guys are terrible. These guys get a 3 from me.
Yeah, I give them a 3, I think, as well. They look like they'll be awesome when you first get them. You're like, ooh, new unit. Yeah, and then you try them, and you're like,
I got a dick load of drops for those, too. I got, like, a bunch of strong horses and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Like whatever horse helmets or whatever those things were, and then you get the lances, but then
and I never used them, and I'm like, come on, man, give me something I can use.
Jesus. Anyways, keep up on. Let's shuffle them out quick. They're not really worth talking about. So that leaves us with two left, I guess, right? The Yaripon. No, sorry, the Yumipon. Sorry about
that. The bow users.
Now, I'll just cut in real quick. I think these guys are really good. The only problem with them is their range. And what by that I mean is not the distance that they can go, but the problem is the distance that they go. Sometimes bosses come in on you really fast and their arrows just keep flying like way, way over. That's their problem. Otherwise, they're really effective.
Right. Yeah, you kind of have to. Yeah, there's certain things that you have to kind of switch in and out or something. Later on, the bosses are big enough to where that's not as big of an issue.
Right, right.
So, but they rock usually because when you get them to fever, they shoot like 3 at a time or something like that.
Yeah, they go pretty mad.
So they're pretty hellacious with that. And there's 6 of them. You get up to 6 of them. So.
Right. Start bombing guys from afar.
Right. So I really liked using them. And yeah, if a unit gets really close, it's pretty difficult to use them, but they're bow users, so you gotta kind of keep your distance. So I would probably give them an 8 because of those instances where it's a little harder to manage them with something that's right up in your grill busting you in the face and they're just shooting over them and you're like, come on guys, Jesus.
Right, and they're just keep shooting over too, right? They don't seem to adjust their range. Really weird. I'll give them 8.5 because I think I kept them in the party the entire time, right? Just if I didn't go for the megapawns, they were in there. So I give them 8.5. Okay, let's round it out here with the final set of guys here. And this is the decapawns. And these guys are the big muscle dudes. These guys are the big fighters.
And they're so worthless.
So slow. But I love them. I love the look of them. They look, they look hilarious.
They look like such brutish.
Yeah, things. They look really. They have like these tiny arms and huge bodies.
Yeah.
Huge heads. I love the look of them. I actually used them a few times and I ended up using items on them thinking they were going to be awesome. And maybe this is where I burned some of the important things I needed. And when I did use them, they were effective. I did have to use them a few times, but generally speaking, they're just too slow.
You're right.
And because you can only have 3 of them, they're just not effective enough.
Right. And they're big targets, so they get hit. And because I tried to, there were certain times where I'd be struggling and I'd throw them in there. You know, they've been riding pine the whole game. And I'm like, come on, guys, do it for me. And they would fail miserably. They were.
Yeah, my guys, because I had used the items, they were pretty awesome. I had one guy that had like this huge spiked head and everything, and he had this giant club with like, I don't know what it was, whatever this club he had, but I think he had like 600 plus hit points or something.
Oh,
he was he was a beast. Like he could do some serious damage.
Jeez.
He was pretty effective. But if you just make the regular guys, they're not so good. But again, I'm going to give them a decent score just because I think they look awesome. They're my favorite out of all of the looks of all the Patapon. They're my favorite looking ones. Just like I love the little goofy like mouths that they have with the little spiky teeth and stuff.
The
fighting
teeth.
Against them is not very fun, though.
I didn't really have too much of an issue fighting against.
Okay, if they get inside on you, you're in big trouble.
Not if you got to defend. That's
Yeah, you can defend against them.
When
but
you defend it, and you have the Yaddipona, you have the Megapona, Yaddipona. That they're not doing too much damage to the Tatepon at that point because well, at least I was getting a lot of shield drops as well. So
yeah,
they were not taking much damage. So they would just be sitting there, you know, fevered up and shielded. And Decapons be trying to do stuff, and they be taking spears to the face.
You also don't fight them too often. I can only think of a handful of times, maybe 2 times, 3 times at the most, that they come up. But that one with the castle, where they keep dropping them, that got a little frustrating for me, where the castle's got that spike thing that drops on you and can give you instant death and stuff. And then those guys keep coming out. That's a little annoying, that part. But
yeah.
But anyways, score?
They're at least better than the Kibapone, so they're 4.
Okay, I'm gonna give them about a 7. They're not real, real good, but again, it's a little bit more on the look of them, the designs. So, all right, well, that's gonna wrap that up then.
Woo!
So I don't know. You got anything else you want to drop out about Patapon?
I would say that this gave me satisfaction in beating it. It was kind of a very childlike amusement while playing it, and sure, it can be frustrating at times, but I don't know. It was one of those games that it was like, even though it wasn't some sort of super complex thing going on with it or anything, it was just a nice, fun game to play. Plus, there's New Game Plus, so you can dick around on that if you want to, too. And you can refight bosses that get stronger and stronger, too, so it was definitely an enjoyable, fun game, and I'm very, very tempted to pick up 2 and go through that. So
nice. I would say check it out for sure if you've got a PSP. I don't presume it's a very expensive game anymore. And I think in North America, 2 only came out digitally. I think it's one of the few PSP games that only came out digitally. I know in Japan, it definitely came out on disc.
Oh.
I'm not too sure, 100% sure about that, but I think if you were going to look into the second game in North America, I think you have to download it.
Huh.
3 definitely got a disc release, because I've got the disc release for that. But yeah, Patapon, it's a fun game. It's very different. Probably, I would say, yeah, put it in your PSP library if you don't already have it.
Yeah, I would definitely say if you want to try something different, this is definitely a very different game. If you are rhythmically challenged, it might be a very infuriating game. So I didn't have much issue, thank God. Otherwise, I might have ate my PSP. But I would definitely say give it a go.
All right. Well, maybe on that note, then we'll wrap it up then.
Certainly.
Awesome. All right. So thanks again for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode, which featured Patapon for the PSP. And we will check you guys out next time. So stay tuned and be ready for the next episode of Power On Podcast Portable. Thanks a lot, guys.
Pata, 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 pom.
Pom, pom, chaka, chaka.